You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
You have to put your hook into the water to catch fish.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, by the power of your Spirit, give us faith to believe in Jesus Christ and love to serve him. Help us to put our hook into the water and to be fishers of men, holding out to people the good news of Jesus, your Son, and our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, some friends of mine in Canada invited me to come to their wonderful country for a meeting where we would all together tell the good news of Jesus Christ. When I accepted their invitation, they wrote me another letter inviting me to spend a couple of additional days there, as they put it, fishing for fish. Every time I see these friends, I have to tell them that the day will come, I hope, when I can accept that second invitation, because I've enjoyed fishing for fish ever since I was a boy in Minnesota. The one profession best represented among the disciples picked by our Lord is that of fishers for fish. It was to professional fishermen of some parts that the Lord said, "I will make you fishers of men." One of those fishers for fish got up on the first Christian Pentecost and let go for Christ with a direct, hard-hitting speech that neither he nor anyone else, except the Lord himself, could have foreseen only 50 days before. Something happened on that day to begin a project of fishing in international waters unmatched before or since in the history of the world. It's all to be found in the second chapter of the book of Acts, faithfully recorded by Luke in his report to his good friend Theophilus. He begins very simply. When the day of Pentecost arrived, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire spreading out, and each person there was touched by a tongue. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious men who had come from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a whole crowd gathered. They were all excited because each one of them heard the believers talking in his own language. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, "These men who are talking like this, they're all Galileans. How is it then that all of us hear them speaking in our own native language? We're from Parthia, Media, and Elam, from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, from Pontus and Asia, from Phrygia and Pamphylia, from Egypt, and the regions of Libya near Cyrene. Some of us are from Rome, both Jews and Gentiles converted to Judaism. And some of us are from Crete and Arabia. Yet all of us hear them speaking in our own languages of the great things God has done." Amazed and confused, they all kept asking each other, "What does this mean?" But others made fun of the believers, saying, "These men are drunk." That last little remark makes it all real. It's a human comment, very human, about a happening that is not exactly ordinary. and for that reason to be regarded with suspicion. In a world where everything is perfectly ordinary, the extraordinary always is looked upon by somebody with suspicion. The pressures in our world are toward uniformity, often of not a very high order. Two girls will spend 30 minutes on the telephone discussing what dress to wear for a party that evening, so that they won't look too much different from the rest of the people who will be there. A whole nation of young people wears jeans because it's the thing to do. The older people buy automobiles and build houses. They stock those houses with shiny refrigerators, gleaming toasters, electric toothbrushes, and even cordless electric carving knives because it's the thing to do. Keeping up with the Joneses has become a way of life for many people. In many parts of the world, even the Joneses have fallen behind. Something happened on that first Christian Pentecost to cut through this whole mass of uniformity. It was extraordinary. The world has never been the same since. Some fishermen at one end of the Mediterranean all of a sudden left their nets behind them to cast out into international waters. None of them, even in his wildest dreams, had ever imagined, not to speak about planned, being so engaged. No wonder that people said on that day, there's something wrong with these men, and even ventured an opinion about what might be wrong with them. Then Peter, a first-class fisherman, stood up with the other 11 apostles and in a loud voice began to speak to the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, listen to me and pay attention to what I am about to say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. This is what I will do in the last days, says God. I will pour out my spirit on all men. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. With those words, Peter put his hook into the water. Peter went on to explain to his now hushed and expectant audience about the Lord, the one by whose saving name people can be saved. It is dramatic and is also straightforward. Listen to these words, men of Israel. Jesus of Nazareth was a man whose divine mission was clearly shown to you by the miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him. You yourselves know this, for it took place here among you. God, in his own will and knowledge, had already decided that Jesus would be handed over to you. And you killed him by letting sinful men nail him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead. He set him free from the pains of death. For it was impossible that death should hold him prisoner. All the people of Israel, then, are to know for sure that it is this Jesus whom you nailed to the cross God has made both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were troubled, deeply troubled. They said to Peter and the other apostles, "What shall we do, brothers?" Peter said to them, "Turn away from your sins, each one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins will be forgiven. And you will receive God's gift, the Holy Spirit. For God's promise was made to you and your children, and to all who are far off, all whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Luke tells us that Peter used a lot of other words with passionate personal appeal to these people, and quotes one telling sentence that was very impressive to everyone there. "Save yourselves," said Peter, "from this crooked generation." Many believed his message and were baptized. About 3,000 people were added to the group that day. They spent their time learning from the apostles, taking part in the fellowship, and sharing in the fellowship meals and prayers. That's not the end of the story. It went right on. Many miracles and wonders were done through the apostles, which caused everyone to be filled with awe. All the believers continued to gather in close fellowship and shared their belongings with one another. They would sell their property and possessions and distribute the money among all, according to what each one needed. Every day they continued to meet as a group in the temple, to have their meals together in their homes, eating the food with glad and humble hearts, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Every day God added to their group those who were being saved. The idea of spreading the Christian faith internationally is not modern at all. It began with the last instruction the Lord gave to his disciples 2,000 years ago. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. At the first Pentecost of the Christian era, these commands began to take shape. They were shaped by a power beyond the reach of those few people, beyond the power of the church at the time, and beyond the powers of the church of any age. It is the power of which the prophet Zechariah spoke, not by might, nor by power, says the Lord of hosts, but by my Spirit. All of us know the reaction produced by talk about God's mighty Spirit in our own age. With all of our enlightenment and all of the possibilities opened up by the marvelous discoveries of the 20th century, each of them disclosing whole new worlds to conquer, people are more suspicious than ever regarding the suggestion that the Spirit of God is at work in the world. With all of that, some are deeply troubled, as they were on that first Pentecost. Others are caught up by the exciting message that the Spirit of God has been bringing to the world for almost 2,000 years now. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, crucified and killed by the hand of lawless men, God raised up, having loosed the pains of death. For it was not possible for him to be held by death. Jesus Christ died, and he's alive. He's Lord. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses, having therefore been exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he's poured out this which you see and hear. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. The message goes out today on this broadcast to people all over the world. It's a modern miracle. But the idea is not new. It comes straight from the Lord himself. And the power is just as powerful as it has ever been. Wherever people talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is at work. Where you are listening right now, the Spirit of God is at work. It could just be that he is at work in you. Jesus Christ said, when the Spirit comes, he will testify of me. Wherever Christ is, there the Spirit of God is. Wherever the Spirit of God is, there you will find the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a very simple story. Peter told it. He died for our sins. And that's what St. Paul told, too. He died for our sins, as the Scriptures said he would. He was buried. On the third day, he was raised again, as the Scriptures said he would be. It's as simple as that, and as marvelous today as it was the first day when it was first proclaimed. From that temple room, the good news of Jesus Christ has gone out to all the world. People filled with good news could not be stopped from telling it. Christian congregations sprang up everywhere. Despite opposition and sometimes violent persecution, the same message has come down to our time with all its compelling force. It's exciting and it's good. In the world of sin and death, it's good news that sin is forgiven and death is overcome. It's good news in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Savior of the world. The hope and joy and freedom of that message has the power of God's Holy Spirit behind it, even today. A new Pentecost is occurring all the time. People are hearing the good news of Jesus Christ in their own language, just as they did on that first Pentecost. It may not look exciting, but it is. The good news of Jesus Christ does things for people, as it did then. They do gather around, and they do believe. They do catch the excitement of a new life, which is truly extraordinary. They do grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, enjoying the good, clean air of God's free grace and favor which are in Jesus Christ. They do witness to the greatness of God through his saving power in Jesus Christ. They do have a share in the life of God himself, shared with the world in the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. These people do love with remarkable expressions of that love, which cannot be described in any other way except as extraordinary. The Spirit of the Lord is at work in the world. What our world needs today is people who have the joy of the Lord in their hearts. What the church needs today is not a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit or new manifestations unlike any that have been seen in the past, but a new recognition of what the apostles were talking about on that first Pentecost. The Holy Spirit of God is at work in the world, and all of us can enjoy His extraordinary power with genuine faith in Jesus Christ to transform our lives, and with genuine love that is not make-believe and is not put on. Some 3,000 souls were added to the church on that first Pentecost. Those 3,000 became witnesses for Christ immediately, without any special training or any additional motivation except the power of God's Holy Spirit. They knew Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, and they just had to let that joy come out. They were truly filled with the Holy Spirit and were moved to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the way the Spirit of God works. You don't have to be a professional pastor or teacher to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. We need pastors and teachers, but we need even more ordinary Christians with the joy of the Lord in their hearts. It doesn't make any difference what kind of language you speak. If you can speak at all, you can fish in international waters by the power of God's Holy Spirit. If you're a fisherman, you've got to put your hook or your net into the water. Too many fishermen spend their time talking and doing something else that has nothing to do with fishing. When you work at it, as real fishermen do, you get fish. That's the way it is with fishers of men. They work at it, and people are caught up in the joy of the Lord. My friend, I wish you the joy of the Lord. And with that joy, I wish you the power of God's Holy Spirit to bring the same joy, the joy of the Lord, to someone who's never known the excitement of having the joy of the Lord. With the power of God's Holy Spirit, put your hook into the water, my friend. Amen.